Let us pray. Lord God, the wellspring of life, pour into our hearts the living water of your grace. By your light, we see light. Increase our faith. Grant that we may walk in the brightness of your presence and be guided by your Spirit as we seek your word in our reflection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever heard the phrase, I'm on my way? What if that phrase is being said by somebody who's running late? Or have you ever said that phrase yourself when running late? I know I have. According to the official glossary of running late language, and I might add, particularly if it's said sometime in the morning, the on my way really means I'm still in bed. As well as, there is traffic on the roads, actually means I'm just leaving my house. Many years ago, while I was driving to work on Highway 401 in Toronto, I was running late, as was my custom at the time. And suddenly I had this moment of clarity. How is it, I thought, that every time I'm leaving my home, I'm very confident that I have plenty of time to make it to work on time? How is it that every time I'm facing these slow drivers, traffic jams, and all sorts of other reasons that are making me late? It seemed like every time it was somebody else's fault. And every time I'm consistently late for about 15 to 20 minutes. And then the next day, I really wanted to change that, but then the next day, I would try again to be on time, and I would end up late again. It was as if a closed-looped circle. And no matter how frustrated I became with myself, and I wanted to change something, it seemed there was no escape. I have tried to change things through sheer strength of will, yet I have failed again. And then, through a series of events, I began to reflect on my predicament. One such event was a door at a very important meeting. I arrived 5 minutes late, the door was shut, and there was a sign. Meeting starts at 4 p.m. If the door is closed, you are late. Come back next time. I have thought a lot, about how did I develop this negative habit of running late. Because I remember a time when I first started working, I was always on time. In fact, I was even 10 to 15 minutes ahead of the schedule. So how did I ever become chronically late? I remember how in the beginning it seemed that I was surrounded by people who were late all the time and I had to wait. And as I was kept waiting, the more I waited, the angrier I became at this predicament. Gradually, I became angry and then spiteful, and then I decided that I'm not going to be ahead of schedule anymore. In fact, why should I even rush? This was my beginning into the journey into the rabbit's hole. Today we have our scripture continuing the story of the birth of Jesus. On Christmas Eve, we have been invited to remember the beginning of Jesus' story, how God has entered into human history through the birth of a child in a very humble setting, or even in a condition of poverty. No sooner that Jesus is born, as today we hear, an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph and tells him to get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt and remain there until further notice. And Joseph gets up and does so. But here, I think it is important to reflect a little more. I certainly have not lived in that time, and I do not know what conditions would be at that time, but I looked at the map a little and reflected a little bit. So there's Jerusalem and Bethlehem just a little distance south from Jerusalem, and then there's Egypt. Between Bethlehem and Egypt, there's about 500 kilometers. Right now, it's a bit more because of the wall, and there's a checkpoint that one has to pass through, but back then, people could travel a little more directly. So it's about 500 kilometers. Now, the situation is such that given how close Bethlehem is to Jerusalem, if Herod is expecting news after the birth of Jesus from the wise men and he does not get it, really is just about a couple of days. So as soon as Mary gives birth to Jesus, they only have a couple of days before they are on the move again. They need to arrive to Bethlehem for a census that is imposed on the people by the oppressive regime. They need to leave Egypt again because of unjust conditions of a tyrant and flee for their life. Joseph, Mary, or Jesus are not really prepared for that. They only have what they can carry. And the travel distance is 500 kilometers. That's roughly 13 days if they can travel for 8 hours a day on a donkey straight up, and perhaps even longer. And they go to Egypt, and here again, so they meet in Nazareth, so that leads me to think that they probably have some relatives and friends in Nazareth. They go to Bethlehem from where Joseph is from, so that means I would think that he probably has some friends and relatives in Bethlehem who could help them, and then they have to flee to Egypt within a couple of days where they have nobody. Only God can carry them through. So at this point, they're basically refugees. As we learn from the gospel later, they can only come back when Herod is dead. Now, historically, Herod's death is placed about 2 to 3 years after the birth of Jesus. That means that for 2 to 3 years, the Holy Family lives in a foreign land with no support other than God's help and the goodness of people there. But they essentially are exiles and refugees with very meager means. Having reflected a little bit more on this story, I begin to understand the words in the letter to the Hebrews better. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. I find that today's teaching is integral not only to the suffering that Christ endures at the end of his journey, and this is more than God entering through a human body that is unable to experience the full sensations of the fragility of the human body. I mean, like being hungry or being full, being healthy or being sick. This is about experiencing the unjust conditions of the world. It is about how God is born into a helpless child under conditions of an oppressive regime, in conditions of abject poverty, undergoing an exile in a foreign country until his family is able to return to their home and be amongst their community. Because Christ develops a full experience of an often unjust world, delivering a hit after a hit, and yet is able to remain in a close relationship with God. and is able to resist temptations of feeding into negative emotions of anger, resentment, spite, and remain open to God's love and care, and in doing so, to show compassion to people around him, and to have courage to be honest to himself and with people around him. This reminder is key for me today when I'm looking for a better way to live in the world, in the presence of God. And Jesus did get angry with actions of people around him, as he called them hypocrites and a den of vipers. But Jesus did not let that anger feed into hatred, spite, or resentment. Rather, he had the courage to be honest with himself, to speak truth to power, and to act with kindness, love, and compassion. Because as I understand now, God confronts, but it is the devil who condemns. God confronts the unjust situation of the world, but it is the devil who condemns and tempts into anger, leading into hatred, resentment, and spite. And that only results in the self-inflicted damage. Because it is okay to be angry at the harmful or unjust situations or behavior, but to live in the presence of God, as Jesus did, it becomes my responsibility to turn away from anger and not be tempted into feeding it. Because I am responsible for my actions and my way of life in this world before God. And the best way to impact the world around me is to model Christ within me and to shine the love that God fills us with. As we were singing our first hymn, the 391, the words that really stood out for me as I was preparing to preach were, and really they summarize all of this, is God has made us and has blessed us and has called us to be true. God is Lord of all creation, daily making all things new. Let us pray. Most loving Lord, give us steadfast hearts which no unworthy thought can drag downwards, and unconquered hearts which no hardships can wear out, upright hearts which no worthless purpose may ensnare. Give us also, O Lord our God, understanding to know you, diligence to seek you, and a faithfulness that will finally embrace you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.